Welcome everyone. Thank you for joining. My name is Mark Kiefer. I'm the chairman, and this is a special meeting of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission, a makeup hearing for the September 9th, 2024 hearing. And I'm calling this meeting to order at 5:02 p.m. on a Thursday, October 3rd, 2024. Pursuant to our enabling legislation, we have called this special meeting because we ran out of a quorum at the September hearing. And so this hearing will adjudicate those items that remained on the agenda at that point. There are just two items with respect to applications, one in the design review and the other in administrative review. And then just a couple of other matters, and we will remain thorough in our treatment of these matters. But I promise you, we will also be brief, since I know none of us were necessarily expecting that we would have to be here again. So we'll try to make that this as painless as possible. Let me just get rid of get through the rest of our housekeeping items in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, including the subsequent amendments. We are conducting this meeting online, and to ensure public access to the deliberations of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing, aka Zoom. The hearing is being recorded, so all further conversations between commissioners should be audible to the public in attendance until the hearing is adjourned. At this point, we'd like to acknowledge any media or elected officials if they are present. Do we have any media or elected officials?
Not seeing any mark.
Don't believe any. We'll acknowledge them if they do join. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, according to the handy instructions that Nick is going to shortly put up on the screen. And that means raising your hand, quote unquote, but using the button that is probably at the bottom of your Zoom panel if they've not moved it in the latest update. Very important that you raise your hand in the Zoom. That way, Nick will see it and he will acknowledge you in turn. We'll give you the heads up when it's time to take public comment. We'll have a designated time for that. And we'll let you know at that time. And again, if you want to be heard on the record, you will need to raise your hand and give your comments verbally at that time. Again, we'll let you know. Okay, so there is just the one item under design review, which is 48 Chestnut Street. I think we saw Frank McGuire. There he is. Thank you, Frank, for joining. And let me just say apologies again that we had to extend the adjudication of this application. But I want to assure you, at least Frank and my colleagues, that I have gone back and listened to watch the recording. I apologize that I had to leave the he hearing early last time, which contributed, of course, to the lack of a quorum at this point in the hearing. But I've gone back and reviewed the recording. So we won't ask you to rehash everything that you presented up to that point. Just to very, very quickly recap, and we'll turn it over to you, Frank. We understand this application being subsequent to a number of other items that were previously adjudicated by this commission concerned simply the return portion of this garden wall at the rear of the property adjacent to, but not on the property of number 50 Chestnut Street, as illustrated in the graphic that Nick has up on the screen now, the pink portion, more specifically indicated with the arrow in the box that is there. We understand we took public comment before. There were some concerns raised by the neighbors, next door neighbor, and you had your contractor come on and talk about the plans and so forth to remediate stormwater drainage and so forth, which I think was a concern. You spoke to the issue of light and so forth with respect to the wall and so forth. And so, Frank, let me just turn it over to you and let's just pick it up at that point. Again, we don't need to, if you want to just make a quick summary, but we don't need to rehash all of the conversation from last time. And we will take public comment again if anyone wants to be heard on the record, either again or someone new. Frank, please take it away.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate this. I know that this was a hectic evening the last time around, and having been on the commission, I know these things can happen. We're all trying to do our public duty, but every once in a while something goes off the rail. So we really appreciate getting a chance to come back on short notice. So as we left it, we had, I think, a couple of issues outstanding, which we're happy to respond to the best we can. Our argument was that this condition that is shown, and a little bit of it in pink, is pretty standard and repetitive up and down Branch Street because of the fact that as the street rises and or descends, the different heights of the different garage elements do change. And what that does is exposes a little bit of the wall that runs 90 degrees to the street. We've been careful on this matter to make sure that that wall is not part of our abutter's wall. We're agnostic as to whether that wall is entirely on their property or ours, but it doesn't matter. The good neighbor strategy is to keep this pink area inboard on our property solely and not anywhere else. We know that the tree is well beloved, and we're trying to stay away from that. It doesn't touch the tree or engage it in any way. We have the, as we said last week, we have the original railings, which were long obscured by foliage, coming back on, and we'll make sure that they are installed in the same location, but in such manner that they do not impact the tree. I think that's kind of where we were when we ran out of road. But if there are any other questions and answers, I would certainly ask Chris Rapinski, who is the head of the contracting firm doing this work, to respond to any other questions you might have.
I just had one, Frank, a general question, and forgive me if this does sound a little bit like we're rehashing that something that came up. I know there was an issue with that was raised by the abutter with respect to light and so forth, and I know you'd pointed out that, of course, there's a very significant L on the property next door at 46 that is, I guess, it's 4 stories tall, and so forth. And so the impacts of on sunlight are likely to be quite limited because, in effect, that building is in the way. There was, I think, I understood from just reviewing the conversation, some representation made about what you'd applied for and so forth. Is there, or were there any implications for zoning, given that you're putting a roof on this garage, as I understand it? Is there any zoning that's implicated here?
No, specifically, one of the things that we did, and we educated our client in this matter, was that there could be nothing in the garage but two cars. And so under zoning, a garage does not add FAR to the property. So we did run it through zoning, and we were careful to respect the requirement as to what a quote unquote garage can contain. We know that there are some more inventive ways of using garage space around the hill, but this is not one of them. It's just a blank space with two cars in it.
Okay, and did you say you actually got a confirmation that you don't need any zoning relief from them?
Well, yes, because we submitted for a building permit,
Yeah,
and we
okay.
went through zoning, and we have a full building permit to
Roger.
build all of
Excellent.
this. And so we didn't, we were careful to make sure that that when it went through the building permit process, that obviously it was reviewed for zoning, and we received our permit for the
Great.
garage.
Okay, thank you for confirming that. I just want to get that on the record because, indeed, as Nick pointed out last time, whether or to the extent that there were any impacts with respect to light and air from this alteration, those are properly in the bailiwick, as it were, of zoning, if they were to implicate the zoning code. But again, you've gone through the process and confirmed that they don't. So I just wanted to get that on the record
Thank you.
to clarify that. Thank you. Okay, so commissioners, any other clarifying questions? Obviously, you've heard the application before, so I'm suspecting there aren't, but just want to give you an opportunity before we take public comment on this. Okay, I don't think I
hear you.
Commissioner Fleck, please go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just curious whether we had received any additional drawings, plans, anything other than the photographs of the mock-up to illustrate. Ah, thank you. I didn't see it on the portal. Thank you, Nick. Should we take a moment to skip through these before we get to public comment, just to make sure we all are on the same page, so to speak?
Let's go ahead and do that.
Because there were a lot of questions about dimensions and the location and, you know, the scale of the masonry, for instance. Thank you.
Happy to oblige. As to the scale of the masonry, there is no masonry that has been subtracted or added to this area, with the exception of a of an approval which would show up on an elevation that we submitted to Landmarks some time ago, lower down at where the door exists, the existing personal door. To the right of that door, there is some deteriorated brick and some paneling, and the photographs, if you turn back to them, would illustrate that. And we have, well, it would if, I'm not sure that it's doing it, but we received permission to replace, to patch back in appropriate masonry to match what had obviously been destroyed at some point in time. But as to masonry elsewhere on the property, on the elevation of the garage or anywhere, that is not existing. We're not doing that. This shows you on this plan. We thought, I think it was Commissioner Fleck who felt that there would be a little bit more enlightenment as to what's going on here if a full floor plan could be seen, even though it, of course, is not visible from a public way. But the point of all this is clarity and helping people understand things. So that is the floor plan as it exists, as it is approved by ISD, and the little red elements on the plan and on the little elevation show the area of visibility.
Thank you. So that wall labeled, I think, is that a 9? In a little circle? That
the red?
The red.
No, there's a letter, a number 9 in a circle, and it points to the wall.
Oh,
I'm just right. So I just want to understand that wall exists today, or that wall
is new. It's being built by us on the inboard of, if this were a little bit more darkly printed, you could see that just above the shaded line of that wall is the line of the abutters, or the wall which is of concern to the abutter. So that wall is entirely on our client's property.
Not a party wall.
Not a party wall.
Thank you.
So is that dashed line the other owner's property line?
Commissioner Jackson, I didn't quite hear that.
The dashed line that occurs above
the
red.
Yes, that's
the
right.
Property line of the other owner.
Yes, that's it. The dirty dashed line. It's pretty faded. But,
so
but
really,
if you see on the elevation on the upper right-hand corner, you can see that there's a vertical seam, and that vertical seam in the masonry, our wall, if our interior partition or wall for the garage is on our side of the vertical seam, and the wall that appends to number 50 is on the near side of the vertical seam.
So that to the right of the vertical seam, that is all new wall.
New wall interior to the courtyard, but not disturbing the wall that exists.
Mm-hmm. I see. So that's in situ today and appears in the photographs that you showed us.
Yeah.
So Frank, if we go out there which I did, and you can see just a bit of the existing wall that's part of 50, that's got its brick wall with like a bluestone cap or something on it.
Right.
Yeah. That's the wall at 50.
And is untouched.
Yeah. And your wall will be inside of that one, which is to say
inboard, on our client's property, inboard.
Right. While we've got this image up, can I also just clarify, and forgive me if you went over this last time, going out there now, there's a sort of a header that's right there. As you can see where Nick is indicating on the cursor, that's, I guess, temporary at the moment, to demonstrate, if I would understand correctly, the form of what you're going to put back there, and right. also to illustrate how you're going to restore the fence above it. Right. Is that, do I understand that that's getting taller from what was there?
I think it may be marginally taller. I would actually like Chris Rapinski, the general contractor, to speak to that. And if he could do that, we could recognize him. I know he's on somewhere mm-hmm. in the digital crowd.
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay, great. Yeah, so that is marginally taller. What we have done is we've surveyed the street. We've leveled the previous header from facing the back of the building on Branch Street right to left. We have leveled the door from the top of the man door at 46 Chestnut straight across. So in the older condition, the door, the header sloped down approximately like 8.5 inches from right to left over the course of the whole span. So when you rectify that and just make it level right across, you wind up with a bit of a balancing where it doesn't align with where the other wall is, but on Branch Street, every wall is stepped up pursuant to the next building left and right. And so we've just demonstrated when we level it across where that flows and follows. And we've tried to maintain the top of height for the picketed ironwork to be aligning with the top of the adjacent 46 garage so that we don't have this visual impact where it looks like higher than, and try to just kind of level along. That's a good photograph to demonstrate it. You can see there in that photo that the volume above the man door is relatively the same. It's just level right across, which yes. justifies before there was some wonky doodle, like metal, looks like house-made garage door cranking mechanism that was back there. I think 50 has something similar to it now that hung over the way. And this just represents putting back that adjustment. And that's how we've managed it. And in order to demonstrate that, we've met with various members of the board out there to review the condition and say, okay, this is that volume. This is how we manage it, you know, and then that's been previously confirmed in prior meetings and prior applications. We're not asking for a change in that. We're just asking how to manage that return using the other returns that demonstrate on Branch Street as, you know, precedent for our condition that demonstrates historic appropriateness. And so that's the ideology with which we've approached it, to kind of make it level and straight. And
okay, and Nick, can you just clarify for me, at least, if not everyone,
sure,
whether to what extent that change, making the portion between the fence and the garage door taller, has already been approved?
So we approved the replacement of the service door and the garage door. So that was approved in September of 2023. If we're going to increase the height of this section of the wall, we should approve it this evening. You're comfortable with it.
Correct. So, we'll consider that part of the application. Yeah. And then so to Chris and Frank, you showed us a drawing, which was quite helpful. You've got the mock-up, or let's call it a temporary, I think. So can you just describe, since it sounds like that piece or that part of the alteration hasn't been approved and we're going to deal with that tonight, what's it made out of, and how does it differ from what's there now, or was there, what we're looking at in the picture, basically?
Sure. You want me to go, Frank, and start, or you can go ahead?
Yeah.
Okay. So the intent is to not have a masonry top above the garage doors, maintaining that the aesthetic of the wood that goes above the garage doors. We'll be correcting the pillar panels and the adjacent door. And so it's just quite simply that volume, I don't know exactly the dimensional number, just leveled right across that top, and which accommodates the the roof system of the garage slash garage door opener, all of which would be managed internally from the garage. Currently, the adjacent property has their garage door opener on top of the garden wall and floating in space, kind of in a unique space there. So we're just encapsulating that as part of our effort, so that it's not visible from any you wouldn't see the garage door opener outside or anything like that.
Right.
And then the that would be a painted hardwood material like a mahogany with a little drip cap on the top. And then the mounting of the ironwork would be right on top of that. That's that element in space. And then, of course, the garage door and the man door are both approved, but those be painted black. Currently, the abutter was hoping for it to remain a rust color. They had some personal interest there, but the way that our owner currently is expecting it is it's painted black to match more of what Branch Street aesthetic is on the left and right.
Okay, Nick, can you just bring up Frank's drawing for this just so we can
sure.
But the intent would be like sort of like what we're looking at there, where that height is a bit higher on the adjacent one, because again, it's
could I make right, a quick
you're stepping? Right. Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
I'm sorry. I just want to make a quick comment on the last image, the previous photograph, if I could.
Yep.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Oh, can we just go back to that, Nick?
Yeah. I don't have it.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, I've got some stuff in the way here, but oh no, it's not working. What my point was simply that it's still not working. I need to go down the street a little bit. What you see on top of number 50 is a garage door opener, which has been installed, I don't know, time out of mind, I suppose. Right. I imagine that it was installed without benefit of review by anybody. And obviously our intention in cleaning up our garage was to eliminate this kind of thing, because it's... glass houses and stones, I don't know, but it's pretty inappropriate. And we thought we would definitely want to get rid of that. And we've actually mounted and designed a specialized garage door opening system that mounts laterally rather than on top, so that we could avoid any such thing as an appliance like that appearing on the facade of Branch Street.
Yeah, so it just hides all that. Okay, and it's basically the gist of it is very simple. It's just a flat wooden panel, kind of a lintel, if you will, that is, I mean, what kind of what you see. There's every flavor of these kind of things on this street, but where they are wood, it's very simple, like what you've proposed.
It's very no details, very flat, yeah. Flashing details. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like as if it were like a granite lintel, just that simple.
Right.
You can also see the masonry infill on the right hand side of where the control joint is between 48 and 46, that we were permitted to extend a sort of a half width of brick up to clean up that pier and return it to the same rectilinear pattern as the piers in the middle and on the other side. And that's right. The only masonry that we're doing.
Got it. Okay. That's fine. I think that's helpful just to clarify that, because we wanted to make sure we didn't unwittingly not adjudicate one of these changes. It's I think it's relatively minor in the grander scheme of things. But
agree, but I appreciate you making clarity there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission before we take public comment?
Yeah, I just had one quick one, Chris. The deflection that you eliminated because of the sag on the downhill side, how many inches did you have to raise that?
I think it's overall like it's like 8.5 or 9 inches. I think in the end the aesthetic will be about 10. So we've represented it 10 because I have a drip edge on the top leading edge there. And then we have to put some little feet on the bottom of the ironwork so that I get a decent place to screw to. The way that it was mounted before was not very
professional. No, I understand. What's the delta?
Yeah. I think it's about 9 inches, if you know, between the two, maybe 9.5, something around that area. I don't have the forensics of it.
But nine and a half above where it was originally.
Yeah, top line to old top line, I think it's about 9.5. And that just corrects the out of levelness.
Yeah, I understand the motivation.
Right.
Wanted to get to the number.
Yeah.
Thank you. Of course.
Okay, why don't we go ahead and take public comment. Again, if you want to be heard on the record, please raise your hand in your on your Zoom panel, probably with the button at the bottom. Nick's going to need to unmute you, so make sure you just get your hand up in the Zoom, and Nick will call on you in turn.
Okay, first up, it looks like we have Mary. Mary, go ahead. Can you unmute yourself, Mary?
There you go. You got it. Yes, thank you very much, gentlemen and ladies, for this meeting and the opportunity to speak. And I have one question and a comment or two. My question is, will this proposed wall be touching the existing wall that comes from 50 Chestnut Street? In other words, will the two be basically joined together, or will there be open space between them? That's one question. Second thing is a comment. That proposed wall, is it a supporting wall, number one? It's been claimed to be a return wall, but is it going to be a supporting wall for a roof? And number two, it is about, based on our best guesstimate, about 93 inches from the ground on the west side, which is the side that abuts 50 Chestnut Street. And so any roof that would appear over that has to be probably under 7.5 feet for any garage roof. Is that, what plans for that garage? How tall will the roof be? And of course, you know about our concerns about drainage of water, snow, and ice. We prefer to have the 48 Chestnut Street owner take care of the water and ice that falls on their property, and would not want to have it ending up on ours. Thank you very much. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mary. Okay. Mark, I don't know if we're going to have the applicants answer Mary's questions, but it does not look like there is any other public comment. Oh, there is one more public comment. So do you want to take the next public comment, and do you want to have the applicants?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's take Diana, and then we'll come back to that.
Okay. Diana, go ahead.
Hi, Diana Coldren with the Beacon Hill Civic Association. We find this application incomplete as it lacks detailed drawings with dimensions. So we are unable to determine whether the proposed work satisfies the requirements of the guidelines. I'd also like to note, like many of the garages along this stretch on Branch Street that obviously back up to Chestnut Street houses and Beacon, most of them were actually approved after 1955. The garage at 50, just if people are interested, was approved in December of 1957. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Diana. So, Mark, I'm not seeing any other public comments, so I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, I see one, E. Townsend.
Oh, they just put their hand back down. Okay.
No, I didn't.
Does E. Townsend want to be heard?
I think Mary didn't get an answer.
Well, we're going to get there. Okay. We just want to make sure we get all the public comment first. So, okay, E. Townsend, I'm just going to unmute you. If you have any questions, please ask them.
Yes, hi, thank you. This is Elizabeth Townsend. And I would like the opportunity to respond, perhaps, depending on the answers that we hear. So I just wanted to raise my hand for that. And I am concerned about the water, and just want to note as well, because I heard this from the last meeting, that we have not had a dialogue with the neighbors to date. There was a conversation that I'm aware of where some questions and concerns were raised. But there has not been an ongoing dialogue. And actually, we only became aware of the detailed plans here about a week ago, around the last hearing. And I personally am not totally clear on what the roof line of the garage that I gather has zoning board approval is going to look like. And I realize that may not be visible from the public way when the garage door entry is raised. or if it is raised, the requested 10 inches. So I just would love to get clarity on that and say that it would be very helpful to be able to have a little bit of time to discuss and understand this. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Okay. And then it looks like we have Patrick. Patrick, go ahead.
Patrick, you're still muted. Can you unmute yourself?
Cool. Okay.
There you go.
So anyway, I apologize that this microphone is very poor. I think a very, very simple suggestion, and that is that there be a mock-up made which shows the wall and the roof in the area that might be visible from a public way. And ideally from the neighbor's property of 50 Chestnut Street.
Okay, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Is the mock-up still in place?
The response to that is that is in fact a mock-up of what is proposed, and mm-hmm. the reason that there's a sort of a magenta color next to the tree in the photographs and a coloration on the plans that we've now submitted is because there is in fact that's a mock-up. It shows where it's going to be and how much of it's going to be visible from a public way. As to the question of whether first of all, there will be no height of this element beyond that. That's why you do a mock-up. I mean, the top of the, as I think Chris Rapinski has just testified, the top of that beam going parallel to the street and the pink return is the limit of what will, of the garage, period. And there's no roof above that. There's no other there's no other construction. We are specifically not putting a roof deck on this. We the owner doesn't want one. We know that would have produced additional obscurity for the neighbors, and it's there. This is it. There is no there's no barbecue in our future.
And Frank, is the mock-up still in place, or is it just photographic evidence of the mock-up?
Yes.
I saw it earlier today. It's still there.
Oh, great. For Patrick and the Townsend's benefit, that's still there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay. Mark, there is, Nick, I see one more. Again, you need to raise your hand in your Zoom if you want to be heard on the record during the public comment period.
Yep.
It's called Carr, and there's one, KT.
Okay, Carr, go ahead.
Unmute yourself.
You're ready.
Please go ahead. The one, your Zoom is called, your car on the Zoom. Please go ahead.
Once. Twice. You're unmuted if that's you.
It's an electric car, very quiet.
Okay. We're going to go to the next comment. So KT, go ahead.
Hi. I'm wondering if there's a way you could provide additional angles on the mock-up that you said we've been able to see. I don't believe that it reflects the magnitude of the change that 50 Chestnut will experience.
It's only required for the applicant to set up mock-ups for areas that are visible from a public way, according to our guidelines. So we don't have the ability to ask the applicant to do that. We can only do it from areas that are visible from areas of our purview.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And just to be clear on that point, we are only able to adjudicate the extent of this application or this application to the extent that it is visible from a public way. So to the extent that there are features or portions of this proposed alteration that are not visible, we need to concern ourselves only with those that are, and our decision needs to be based or made on that basis alone.
Mm-hmm.
But in fairness, Mark, the abutters have other avenues to pursue those kinds of concerns, right? It's just that that's not in our purview to do.
Yes, although you know, with respect to issues, you know, that are ultimately motivated by light and air, those are squarely in the realm of zoning. So again, yeah, that to the extent that there may be other, you know, concerns, we're not saying that we don't acknowledge that there are other concerns. We certainly understand that. We acknowledge that. It's just that only certain concerns are proper for our consideration. And really, we're limited to those concerns that, you know, relate to our standards, which are historical and architectural appropriateness on the one hand and quality of workmanship, which is to say the materials, on the other.
Mm-hmm.
We have a policy that basically we don't hear applications that are not ripe for our review because they require prior relief from some other agencies. This is a garage, mm-hmm. after all. So for example, if the applicant was proposing a curb cut, required a curb cut to make this garage happen, the Public Improvements Commission would be required to sign off on that. That's not required in this case because the curb cut exists. Again, if they were adding additional floor area to the property such that a zoning variance would be required under the zoning code, they'd be required to get that variance before we'd hear the application. But in this case, those circumstances don't obtain in this case. And so this is ripe for our consideration and it is a proper application. And we have to concern ourselves just with those aspects of it that are within our relatively narrow purview.
Mark, what's confusing is that the black lintel on the south-facing side transitions to the mauve color, and how those two, the brick and the, how those things meet at that corner is what's seems unresolved.
Which corner, Ralph?
The left hand.
Okay. Yes. So can we go back to Frank's drawing now?
So it's, if you see.
Which one, Mark? Sorry.
I'm sorry. The one that's.
The red. How do you transition from what's visible to us is the transition from the black on the south facing. And suddenly it goes red. And in the drawing here, it looks like the brick wall will be capped by the black lintel. If that's the idea, that's a well-resolved sort of issue. But I don't know. But because of the color and the drawings, it doesn't look as if that's the idea.
Okay, so I believe it is. And Frank mm-hmm. will correct us if I'm wrong here. But so what he's represented here is ostensibly what we've got now is a short wood lintel that's painted red. And that's going to be replaced by a slightly taller wood lintel with a drip cap on it, like you see he's rendered here. And then behind that, a return, which is highlighted in red here. And that portion, Frank, is brick?
That portion is black.
Okay.
Not on top of the, as you can see the cap, you can see the bluestone cap on the, and that cap ends at the construction joint between the two masonry piers. Yep. And the return on that bluestone cap is the cap of the wall between the two properties. I won't define it as a common wall or a party wall, because I think that's, I don't know that. But this, what is inboard of that on our side of the construction joint is, and the only reason we showed it as red was so that we could highlight it in the drawing. But in fact, it will be, if our owner has anything to say about it, it'll be painted black like the rest.
Okay, so to recap, for Commissioner Jackson's benefit here, what we see today as a sort of red rust colored short red wooden lintel will be replaced by this slightly taller wood lintel that spans the entire width, then wraps the corner to the left and returns to the building, again in wood. And all of that is painted black, consistent with the garage door, the pedestrian door, the door surrounds. It's all painted black. It's all wood. It's all painted black, correct?
Correct.
Which is better Ralph, than does that help? Which is a better resolution than what the photographs suggest.
Yeah, I think they were just mocking it up so we could kind of see the height of it and that they were going to retain the ironwork and so forth. It was really... So
here's a case where AutoCAD prevails over the human hand.
Right. Okay, so Ralph, is that... Are you comfortable with this now at this point? Or at least comfortable.
Yes, I'm much more comfortable with the notion that there is a black element capping the new west wall.
Yeah, I did not. Thank you for raising that, Ralph, because I'm afraid I admit I did not quite appreciate that. Okay, let's see.
So it looks like we have maybe just try one more time for this a car person, which I suspect is Caroline, for okay. Public comment. Mark.
Someone is calling in or Zooming in with, and your name on the Zoom is Car, C-A-R. If you want to be heard on the record, Nick's going to give you one more chance. Okay, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. Please. Hi. So this is Caroline Townsend, and I'm sitting in a chair inside my parents' home right now. And when the meeting began, I was looking out the window, and I could see the dappled light and the sunlight on the brick wall of 46 Chestnut. And so after, you know, you install your new, brand new, fresh, modern, you know, up-to-date garage, we will be looking at a wall. And so the user experience of the resident of whoever's in this room is decreased, and therefore the real estate value is decreased, because instead of looking at open space and air, we'll be looking at a brick wall. But I know that's not part of this meeting. I'm just informing that the measurements of our wall are 73 inches tall and 1 foot across. So I know that the boundary of where you put the ironwork when you install it is not going to go over our wall. And that your proposed, where you have string right now, is 93 inches high. And so it'll be a change to look at a wall instead of the open space and sunlight on the other buildings. But I just am sorry that you, some of you felt that my parents' garage was wonky and an appliance. And I'm sorry for your perception that we aren't as fresh and modern and brand new and mahogany as what you're doing. And I definitely think that the owner should do what they want to do. I don't care what color the garage door is. And that was just, I'm a different family member. And so I think it's fantastic to do it black. But anyway, to clarify, the measurements of your mock-up are a significant amount. It's not marginally taller. It's almost a foot taller on Branch Street. And so that's definitely a change of from public view. But I know you've already gotten permission for many of the things. And you know, that's just, you know, it really changes the user experience for whoever's here, and it lessens the value because we'll be looking at a wall. And definitely the snow and ice, I'm the shoveler, so I really hope that your snow, if we get 2 feet or 5 feet of snow, doesn't fall into my parents' garage, because I already have a hard enough time getting rid of the snow that falls into their two parking spaces. And I think it's great to change the 48 Chestnut backyard from one parking space to two, because parking is hard to find in the city. And so that makes sense to me as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think that's it, Nick, is that right?
That's it, yep.
Okay, we're gonna close public comment then. And let me just ask one more time, just very quickly, Frank Chris, you I believe you had said in the prior hearing that you would address, you would plan to address. It's not necessarily directly in our purview, but I just want to make sure I don't misstate what you said earlier, that you have a plan to remediate stormwater from the roof and contain that within the bounds of your property, basically?
Yes, yes, indeed. We have the roof is pitched not towards 50, but towards 46, where there is an existing substantial well that goes back from time immemorial. But we're able to even normal drainage will take care of runoff. But we have the ability to manage stormwater on the property, which we rarely get in our neighborhood, at least in my experience. So there is no way possible that stormwater would spill over onto 50. It's all being directed in the other direction.
Right. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that as well. Okay, Commissioner, so just to quickly recap, what is before us tonight is the addition of this return, which again, thank you for clarifying, Frank, will be a consistent treatment of what we see on the rear portion below the ironwork, this sort of simple wood lintel that will turn the corner and return toward the building. The entire treatment will be painted black, and it will be, let's just call it slightly taller than what had existed previously, again, with the ostensible purpose to disguise from view from a public way any of the machinery for the garage door or other related appurtenances and so forth. They'll retain the ironwork above. And the objective here in increasing the height was to, number one, just make it straight across instead of this kind of strange sloping, and then also relate the height of the ironwork when finished to the adjacent property at 46, which is nicely illustrated. You can see the top of the rail there lines up with the brickwork next door at 46. I have gone out and looked at this mock-up. Thank you again for putting it up. I agree with my colleagues' comments. I think from the prior hearing and from with the staff's recommendation that this is, again, it's marginally visible from the public way. It's not removing any historic fabric. It's not otherwise, I think, upsetting the architectural language or historical interpretation of this portion of the building. Commissioners, any lingering concerns or questions?
The metal filigree returns on the west wall, it would. I would think that would be a plus.
I think they don't have it, right, Frank? It's just You've got that piece that goes across, and that's it, right?
I think we have. I'm not sure whether we have a couple more. I think given the concerns expressed by the abutter, it seemed to us that we would return it. I think it would be rational to return it, but we have to avoid contact with the tree. And the fact that we've been told in testimony from the abutters that it didn't return, I think I'm correct in that, I may be wrong, but it sounded to us like the better part of valor was not to turn the corner. And so that's the, we're happy to investigate whether there's a little more of it left. We obviously intend to use it all because it's historic. That's the thing on here that's not on the other garage that it, if it were, would be a real plus for the district, because it's beautiful traditional railing of great quality. And so we any of it that we've got, we would like to preserve. I would have to look into that and see whether there's any remaining pieces. But Ralph's absolutely right. It ought to turn the corner, but I don't want to turn the corner into create an additional difficulty for the abutter. Sure.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate the suggestion, Ralph, and I'm inclined to agree with it. I think it would be more elegant if you could do that, maybe even just for a few feet until you get to the tree or something. Well, let's see. Ralph, are you, well, this sounds like they're not prepared to even represent whether or to what extent they could do that. It sounds like there are some other, they have to figure out what they've got to work with. So perhaps they could come back for that if that was something, Frank, that you
it's discovered. Not our job to be adding
we
fabric like that, are we?
Staff with it.
I think what Commissioner Jackson was suggesting is simply that in terms of, because what we are adjudicating tonight is the small portion of the return that right. we can see. And he is suggesting, and I think I'm inclined to agree that, well, okay, if we're to approve this, or sorry, in contemplating this, one thing that might make it even better is if there was a section of railing that's extant that could be reused above it, then why not add that little touch to further improve it?
Yeah, I think that's what we would like to do in any case. So there's a couple of images that show that some of this is kind of dangling in the air.
Yeah.
And because we did retract it from the cap wall of 50. So let's us look at it. See right there. Yeah. We could return some of that. And I think it would be a good thing to do. And Ralph's dead right. And if we could, it's missing a couple of the spikes, but I think one, but you know, we're happy to work with that. And if we need to come back to Nick or you know, have a little sharing of our solution, we'd be happy to do that.
Okay, appreciate that. Nick, is that something we could just have you do?
If you're okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think commissioners, we could add a proviso that if the applicant is able to successfully add a return of the ironwork for a short distance, just to turn the corner, that final approval of that additional element be delegated to staff. Anyone have a concern about that? Okay.
Is there a limit to the dimension that we're talking about, just to give everybody some clarity and boundaries on that?
It's probably three increments.
Those you're looking at
are approximately 4.5 inches.
You can see it right there, Ed.
You can count them.
Hanging over.
The two.
The piece that's hanging over the
two panes, the two windows, sort of.
Am I able to speak? Can you all hear me?
Yep, we can hear you, Chris.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
So we do have about approximately 2 feet of material that was original that we can return back. We do have that. I would caution to the extent that the return does not rub against that tree, right? We could maybe move it inboard and the return and try to make sure that even when the tree's movement swaying in the wind doesn't rub against that return, that we have the stock. And even if I didn't have the stock, but that was the request of the board, I could replicate it and use that replicated section as the return. So I think we could adjudicate that in this meeting and say, if it is feasible, then we'll do it.
Yeah, okay. No, I appreciate that, Chris. So all the more reason I'd like to just delegate this one little aspect to staff. That way, you know, you can figure out what you got to work with.
Right.
Nick can take a look at it and just we can proceed from there. So I think what we can do is just add a proviso that would specify that. Okay, Commission, any other lingering concerns? I think we're moving toward a motion here. Hearing none, I'm going to move that the application be approved as submitted, and specifically with respect to the return, the addition of the return in the on the garden wall, and the addition of the height to reflect of the lintel above the garage door to reflect, as per the drawings, the slightly higher height above the door, and that with respect to the decorative ironwork, that to the extent feasible, that a section of ironwork be included above the return with the final specification and determination of that feasibility and its final specification to be delegated to staff.
I second that motion.
Okay, great. We will vote. Commissioner Allen?
Aye.
Mr. Fleck?
Aye.
Mr. Jackson?
Aye.
Mr. Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond, is Mr. Richmond here?
Not here.
And Commissioner Steele?
I think she left.
Okay.
Yep.
Does that still count as a vote?
That still counts as a vote, yeah.
Very good, okay.
Alan and Ralph. Yep, we're good.
Yes, great. Okay, thank you all very much for your patience and your perseverance in this. We'll get a letter from Nick just to summarizing this determination. And again, Chris and Frank, we invite you to follow up with him directly with respect to this one last piece about adding that return. It'd be a very nice additional detail if you're able to do that. But we'll leave it to Nick and you to figure that out.
I have one humble suggestion as we leave. Having been through this myself before, would it not be possible to put the administrative approvals first rather than last? Because then you would not have such a large number of people with a variety of issues that are unadjudicated. I don't know if it's a policy issue that it can't be done. I can't remember it coming up when I was on the commission, but it seems like it would be relatively easy to flip them.
Well, because the administrative review items, the folks that are applying through administrative review don't have to be here. The folks under design review do have to be here. So that's why we put them towards the end. Unfortunately, we've only had one situation in my tenure where we did not have a quorum to review those, but that's why we have them at the end. And then, you know, whatever the commission feels, you know, they wanted to put them first. I guess they could. That's up to them, but we would have to advertise it as such because we can't review items out of order once it's posted with the city clerk.
Well, I appreciate the suggestion, Frank. And yes, and they're always welcome. Obviously, we respect very much your significant experience on this commission, and we want to make this experience better for everybody to the maximum extent we can, applicants, the public, the commissioners alike. So we appreciate that. Well, and we'll give that some thought for sure. We hope this will be a one-time thing. This won't happen often or at all in the future, but appreciate the suggestion for sure. So thank you again for coming in, and you'll get a letter from Nick. Appreciate your patience. Okay, so thank you. Administrative review, commissioners, before we take public comment or ask for public comment, any questions, concerns, recusals required for any of the items under administrative review? Okay, I don't hear any, so we'll take, does anyone want to be heard in public comment on any of the administrative
review? Mark, items? I need to recuse myself from one item. Should I do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
For the entire slate, or how does that work?
Just the one.
Or do we have to
just
vote twice?
No, just the one.
8 Park Street.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I'm glad you spotted that. Okay, so let the record reflect, Commissioner Fleck has recused himself with respect to application 25.0207. 8 Park Street. Okay. Anyone want to be heard on the record for public comment?
Mark, I just have one clarifying question that was relayed to me. For 27 South Russell Street, the they are removing and replacing the headers and sills in kind. They are currently green, but what they mean is they're brownstone. So they'll be replaced in kind with the same color of stone. So I just wanted to clarify that. Rochelle asked me to put that on the record. So just so you know, it is replacing in kind, but they're not repainting them is what they're saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Don't see any public comment.
Okay, so no public comment. I'll move approval en masse of the administrative review items, noting the recusal of Commissioner Fleck on item 25.0207 8 Park Street. Can I get a second?
I second.
Okay, we will vote. Commissioner Allen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fleck, with respect to everything but 8 Park Street?
Aye.
Commissioner Jackson?
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner, that's it. Okay, so administrative review items are approved. Minutes from last time. Any questions, comments, additions, revisions to the August 15, 2024 hearing minutes? Okay, hearing none. Does anyone want to make a motion to approve or ratify the minutes?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
I second.
Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen?
Aye.
Mr. Fleck?
Aye.
Mr. Jackson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Okay, the minutes for August are approved.
They're approved.
And that is it.
Yes.
Thank you all for your patience in all of this. And we got about an hour. Not too bad. Do we hear a motion to adjourn?
I have a motion.
So moved.
Second?
Aye.
Okay, not everyone needed. In approval say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions? Thank you all very much. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, folks.
We'll work on having a quorum every time, but I appreciate your patience and all this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks, I guess.
Okay.
A few weeks.
Appreciate it, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.